The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play! Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
The four best teams remain. Of this, we have no doubt. It is the Chiefs hosting the Bengals. And the 49ers visiting the Eagles, and it is four of us here today. Heath's back. Hooray! The whole gang back together again. What's up, Heath? Welcome back. How was your staycation?
It was fantastic. Got some camping in, got some youth basketball in, watched a little bit of football. Wonderful.
Is it really fun for you to play against youths?
It would be so much fun. I actually do it pretty regularly, probably will tonight, because anytime we don't have an even number for a scrimmage, I get in there.
But he was coaching. It was a joke.
What's that?
He was coaching.
I was coaching this weekend. But no, it is a lot of fun to play against the youths. Playing against like middle school kids. I swatted a kid off the wall last week. It was fantastic.
How would I do against middle school kids?
They would dominate you.
That sounds
100%
harsh.
They would dominate you.
All right. Well, what's going on, Jamie? How we doing?
Doing great.
Can't complain.
Good weekend of football.
Dave, not really. Dave, you said that divisional weekend is usually the best weekend of football of the year. It really wasn't this year.
No. We got let down a little bit. The closest thing that we had to a nail biter was the Cowboys 49ers game, and it wasn't even really a nail biter. So fake divisional playoff weekend. Hopefully the conference championships make up for it. Hopefully the Super Bowl makes up for it. We've got a shot at some really exciting Super Bowl combinations.
I wouldn't go back to Adam playing against kids in sports. I know he'd be terrible at the middle school basketball, but I think like in Jamie's oldest baseball team, how would Adam do?
Let's see.
How old?
Backup catcher.
9, 10?
10 to 12. He would probably, can you hit a 60 mile an hour fastball?
Yes. Yeah, I could do that. But no. Not a curveball. A curveball, no.
A 60-mile-an-hour fastball?
Yeah,
this one is from like 40, from like 45, 48 feet. Oh. Right?
Yeah, it's not from 90 feet. That's from 40 feet.
Yes, if a 10 to 12-year-old can hit it, then I can hit it, okay? Give me a break.
All right, next time you're in Florida, my 10-year-old who's lefty, so you have a little bit of advantage. It's the lefty-righty matchup. My 10-year-old's lefty. We'll pitch to you.
I'm in for that.
By the way, you're how tall?
5'9", let's just say.
Round right, no.
We'll round up.
Not 5'9".
I'm rounding up. We always round up.
He's 5'2", so he's almost your height.
What is this, decibel scoring? Come on. All right, let's get into the show here. Couple trivia questions for you. We'll talk about the news and notes, and I have an off-season question for each of the four eliminated teams. Trivia question number one. Of all the running backs with 80 or more carries, the top two in yards per carry were both rookies. Who were they? 80 or more carries for a running back, the top two in yards per carry were both rookies. Who were they?
Kenneth Walker?
No.
Tyler Algier?
No.
No. Breece Hall?
Yes.
I want to say Pacheco.
No.
Does Travis Etienne count?
No.
Even though he should. So
he played this weekend. This past weekend.
What about Isaiah Pacheco?
No. Did someone just
Jordan Mason?
James Cook.
James Cook, 5.7 yards per carry. Breece Hall 1, James Cook 2, Khalil Herbert 3, J.K. Dobbins 4. Those are your top four in yards per carry, 80 or more carries. DeAndre Swift 5. All right, trivia question number 2. You only have 5 seconds to think about this one. How many quarterbacks scored 20 or more fantasy points last weekend?
You mean in the games
this
on
weekend,
Sunday?
I don't know. The most recent weekend, yes. Divisional round.
One.
Dave says one. One.
One. One sounds right.
One sounds wrong. Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow. It was only two. Burrow scored 24. Hurts scored 27. And Mahomes maybe got 20 in decimal. I don't have decimal scoring. He had 19.
You get
19.
The Chiefs TQB there?
What's that? No.
You get the Chiefs TQB there?
No, I don't get that. But it was a surprising weekend. Not a lot of big point production from the quarterbacks. All right, let's do a fantasy winner and a fantasy loser. Heath, we haven't heard fantasy talk from you lately, so why don't you go first? Give me a fantasy winner from the weekend.
You always do such a good job of going to me first because you know I'm going to be prepared for these types of questions. I think the winner probably has to be Brock Purdy. Even though he didn't play well, even though he didn't score very many fantasy points, I don't know how he doesn't start week one. He just took the 49ers to the NFC Championship game in his rookie season. And so I'm going to say Brock Purdy.
All right. Dave, fantasy winner?
How about Isaiah Pacheco? But this time I mean it for real.
Yeah.
Dave, robot is broken. He's stuck on
he might be Kansas City's lead running back next year. Like, he's played well enough to earn at least consideration for it. Explosive, you know, maybe a little too herky-jerky in the way that he plays, maybe a little underrated as a pass catcher. I thought that in this playoff game, they'd get away from Pacheco. Important games, usually this is where Jerick McKinnon shines. Pacheco was their lead back. He had a good game, almost had 100 yards. I think he's going to increasingly gain steam as an RB2 as we head into fantasy drafts.
12 carries, 95 yards for Pacheco, and they could activate MVS this week. We'll see what happens.
You mean CEH?
Yeah. Sorry LMNOP. About that. LMNOP.
MVS actually has been active. It just hasn't been obvious for a lot of the season.
That's true. Yeah. He did catch
one play on Saturday. He was activated.
Pacheco's long run, I think that was on the Henny drive, right? I mean, that was one of the biggest plays of the game. Huge play. Jamie, fantasy winner.
I'll stay with the Chiefs and say Kadarius Toney. 7 targets. He's still not playing a full-time role. And, you know, I hope a full offseason and what he's capable of doing can only, you know, unlock what his potential is. Obviously, staying healthy is going to be a big part of that. But 7 targets, 5 catches. You know, it's a receiving core. We've talked about this quite a bit, you know, that we don't know exactly what's going to look like next season because Juju's a free agent. Mecole Hardman's a free agent. MVS, who knows if they're going to be, you know, stick with him based on the contract and the lack of production. So Kadarius Toney, I think, could be a huge winner next year.
Yeah, Tony's still playing about 30% of the snaps. I'm going to give you
the Giants gave him away.
I don't blame him.
You should.
Well, I just don't think it was going to work for anyone there. You know, I think it's going to be good for Tony for sure. And I think it was just they needed to move on. But
I'm still waiting for him to play the majority of snaps, though. He's playing about a third of the snaps. It was actually lower than
that. Yeah, that's what's the great thing about it is what happens when he is.
When he starts playing in a full-time role, sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, if you're a targets per route run guy, Kadarius Toney is looking like a future star.
He had
20 snaps, 6 touches, 7 targets, and a carry. That's a lot. Put that on a 17-game pace. Where you're playing every single snap and he'll lead the league in touches. It's not going to happen.
All right, so let me give you a stat line. Tell me if this is a first-round player. 17-game stat. 114 catches, 1,468 yards, 11 touchdowns on 148 targets.
Yes, that's
That's a top, maybe a top 8 player. That's CeeDee Lamb in weeks 7 through 18 when Dak Prescott came back, and that doesn't even count 2 postseason games where he scored... Let's see, 16.8 and 21.7 fantasy points. He scored 16 or more fantasy points in 10 of 14 games with Dak, 7 of his last 8. So,
Sean Payton's going to love him.
You think so? No. McCarthy's not going anywhere, right?
He should.
I don't know that he did. I mean, look, if you can upgrade to Sean Payton, that's one thing, but I don't think you can put anything on Mike McCarthy, can you?
No, I think Sean Payton's just got, like, he could get a handful of coaches fired with a phone call.
Right.
Right.
All right, fantasy losers. Jamie, why don't we start with you this time?
Fantasy loser. Let's go with Tony Pollard just because of the injury. I hope he's fine. I really do. You know, going to free agency, you know, with a broken tibia, hopefully, or fibula, hopefully should be, you know, 100% by the start of training camp. But, you know, that's could just put a little bit of a damper on maybe the contract that he was going to get or hopefully will get. I would love to see him stay in Dallas. I know there's a talk of maybe, you know, franchise tag for him, but let Zeke go, let Pollard stay. But just seeing somebody get hurt as they're heading into free agency in their final game just always sucks for me.
How much did Pollard's injury remind you of Mahomes' injury? Like, they almost kind of, they didn't look exactly the same,
yeah.
But, you know, leg getting bent around and all that made me marvel when I heard there was a fracture. I was like, dang, that wasn't a sprain just like Mahomes had, where you get bent around, you never know what you're going to get out of it. But I don't know if I think he's going to be a loser in terms of his free agent deals. Like, I wonder if this is going to cost him a little bit of money there, but he's still got potential to be a good fantasy running back. He can heal up from this and be ready to go for week one.
I hope so.
I think the concern would be that because he doesn't get one of the feature back contracts and he ends up in a situation similar to what he is this year.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, we'd love
draft a guy.
Did this prove that the Cowboys coaches are right about him?
No. This is freak play, I think.
I hope.
No, he was great down the stretch.
He was much better last week than this week, but he didn't play against the 49ers.
I think Dave was referring to that he can't handle the big workload.
Right? No, that if that's their answer, then they're idiots.
Yeah. All right. And Dave, who's your fantasy loser?
Let's go with Gabe Davis and how much a difference a year makes. Bad game, big spot for Buffalo, couldn't come through. I took a look at his game log. 5 of 17 games this year where he had more than 70 yards. 10 of 17 games where he was under 50 yards. He had 8 touchdowns in 7 games. And I wonder if this is just what he is like a big play guy. And those guys are typically number 3 receivers for their own NFL teams. That means that someone else might have to be the number 2 receiver for Buffalo. Going back to the winners, maybe Dawson Knox is a winner because he's been that number 2 option for Buffalo's passing game the last 6 weeks, something like that, where he was scoring every single week. And then on Sunday, he had 5 for 65. So I wonder if Gabe Davis is just going to be what he is and he never takes that next step to being a great NFL receiver / fantasy receiver.
Mm. Well, I mean, I was going to save it because I was going to ask about him later, but I mean, I can make a great case for, well, I can make a fun
Azer,
case.
Azer said it. Azer
not,
said it.
I mean, it's Azer theories. It's just, I can make a very theoretical case where if you really want to believe in Gabe Davis, like, I'll make you believe in Gabe Davis. All right.
Oh, it's not even that difficult. You just look at his pace before Josh Allen hurt his elbow.
That's exactly what, right. But you also, I think, can even be a little bit more lenient and understand some of his bad games. He was hurt. He missed week 2. He got hurt in week 1. He stunk in weeks 3 and 4. I specifically remember the Pittsburgh game was on CBS, and it was a Nance Romo game, and Romo said, this is the healthiest I've seen Gabe Davis since the beginning of the season. He went out in that game. He had 171 yards and 2 touchdowns. He got rolling a little bit here, and you know, for the next 4 weeks, he and Josh Allen were healthy. And when Josh Allen had a good game, Gabe Davis had a good game. When Josh Allen had a bad game, Gabe Davis had a bad game, which is, by the way, what happened in the playoffs. And I don't think we saw really Josh Allen get healthy until week 18. But this is, again, this is just a theory. I don't know. But that's when he started throwing the ball downfield more. And Gabe Davis had 10 targets in week 18. He had a bad game. He had a great game against the Dolphins. And then I don't really hold this game against him. Because the Bills' passing offense was really bad.
Okay, no, you should have just stuck with the one that I offered.
No, because I'm tying him to Allen's production. So basically, the overarching theory is when Gabe Davis and Josh Allen are healthy, Gabe Davis is good when Josh Allen is good. That's basically what we've seen. So I think there's more potential than what we saw this year. He finished as the number 28 wide receiver per game in non-PPR, number 38 per game in full PPR. I think he can be better than that. I mean, he is right. He's not going to be like a true, he's not going to be T. Higgins or something. But I think he can have more boom weeks next year, health permitting. That's the arc.
It'll be a great value pick because he was overdrafted this year. And I think that's something that will help. I also think that they need to get something else from someone else. You know, Isaiah McKenzie just wasn't that guy. I'm hoping Khalil Shakir is that guy because he could be fun. And he saw some moments from him. You know, you go back to a year ago and maybe that's what Josh Allen was missing a little bit. You know, the Cole Beasley type of player, you know, someone to be, you know, more of a possession type of guy and help Stephon Diggs in that role. Like Dave said, maybe, you know, Dawson Knox, he certainly performed well down the end of the season, but still feels more touchdown dependent than that type of receiver. And so, you know, Shakir was expected to maybe have a little bigger role. And when he's gotten opportunities, he performed. So he's somebody I'm excited about with, you know, late round pick next season.
And my loser is Juju Smith-Schuster. He has 11 targets in his last four games and is being phased out. I don't really understand why. It's not like Tony's playing that much, as we said. But okay, Heath, I'm sorry. Did you give a loser? I don't think you did. I skipped.
No, I didn't. I was trying to decide between Trevor Lawrence and Daniel Jones, and I decided since you said Juju that I'm going to say Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Oh, no. No, Daniel Jones win is only that I think, like, if he had played well and they had lost, I think his contract numbers really got affected, and maybe his guarantees yesterday.
I hope so.
Because he did not look like someone who could actually be a long-term answer. But with Trevor Lawrence, I think it's really interesting because he had that, four or five game stretch early in the second half of the season where it looked like, oh, wow, he's turning into an elite fantasy quarterback. And then for a variety of reasons, and some of the excuses are valid and some are not, and Azer, I assume in July is going to Azerstat why Trevor Lawrence.
I did it last week.
Bad finish shouldn't hold against him. But I think it's a real question mark how you value him. I think he's got to be closer to QB12 than he is to QB6 entering next year.
Ooh, well, fine. So let's talk about the bad finish because the bad finish was the Jets game on Thursday night. I weathered Azerstat that game, right? Terrible weather. The next week was Houston. He played like 2.5 quarters, and they ran all over Houston. The Tennessee game was legitimately a bad game, a surprisingly bad game against the great matchup. That was week 18. They went to the playoffs because of a pick six, basically. The Chargers game, I don't know how you view that one. He scored like 27 fantasy points, right? So it was a good game.
The ultimate Bortles.
And then the Chiefs game, yeah, it was disappointing. there's an excuse for a lot of it, but... for two of the games, at least, for the Jets and the Texans game. So, I don't know. We talked about that last week. It was like, yeah, he did so much. And he really didn't even have, you know, he didn't really have that good of a game, of a season, really. In fact, because I was looking it up for Christian Kirk. Believe it or not, Christian Kirk, the 2020 Cardinals and the 2021 Cardinals threw for more yards per game than this Jaguars team. And I think they threw for more touchdowns than this Jaguars team. And one of those teams played only 16 games. So it wasn't like a huge season for Lawrence, Heath, to your point.
No, not at all. And it was easy at one point in the season to look at, okay, he struggled early in the year. This is basically his rookie year because Urban Meyer's terrible. And now he's figured it out. But it's hard to say that when you look at the way the last month and a half went.
Anyone disagree?
I mean, I'm not going to judge him based on his fantasy points. I'm judging him based on the way that he looks. And he looks like a guy about to explode and just be a star. So I'm not concerned about him having a bad half against the Texans and a bad game in the weather against the Jets. And yes, the Chargers game in his first playoff game was a little bit disappointing. And then he rebounded and played well. And he had to go into Arrowhead. I mean, like, what are we judging him on here? He's about to get Calvin Ridley. He's going to be another year in Doug Peterson's system. They're going to have to do some tooling, retooling of the offensive line because Juwan Taylor is a free agent. We don't know Cam Robinson's status. So those are concerning things, you know. But if they bring Evan Ingram back and you tell me he's got Kirk, Ingram, Ridley, and Zay Jones with Travis Etienne and Doug Peterson, that's rocket ships. He's about to be a star.
Okay. All right.
In a division that stinks, too.
We will take a quick break from that to tell you about Sportsline. All right, you got another week to get some great gambling advice in the NFL, but we got gambling advice for everything, so check it out on Sportsline. It's a combination of veteran expert gamblers who do a great job, and they're transparent about their records. You can see who's hot, who's doing well in what sports and whatnot. And like, if you just want to make some bucks and you wouldn't even think about some mid-major college basketball game or something on a Tuesday night, you know, Sportsline's got you covered for those types of things. And it's a combination of that type of advice plus computer simulation models that are really great as well. There's DFS stuff. There's player props. It's a really cool website. So check it out, sportsline.com. Use the promo code TACKLE and get 99 cents for your first month. Oh, well, no, pay 99 cents for your first month. That's the offer. 99 cents for your first month on Sportsline. I believe it's $9.99 after that. It's a terrific value. Check it out. News and notes. Jalen Hurts was not playing at 100%. I don't know how you guys felt. I felt like he was a little reluctant when he was running the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So.
Well, I mean, hopefully he becomes a little more reluctant in running the ball moving forward, too. Like, that's something that all quarterbacks kind of have to, the running quarterbacks, and Josh Allen's the one who's gotten away with not doing that. He still just runs to contact, but he's got to learn to do that a little bit better so he can stay healthy.
They are so much better than every team. Every team. It's just, they're incredible. In fact, if they had gone 16-1, like maybe they win both those games and win the Super Bowl, they're a legendary all-time team, I think. I mean, they're so good.
You think they're significantly better than the 49ers?
Yeah. If they're healthy, yeah, I do. I just don't think Jalen Hurts is not healthy.
No, I think they just beat up on a team that didn't belong.
They did.
I think they're significantly better than the
49ers. 100%. Well, the 49ers are very good. But what
I don't know.
I don't know if they're significantly better than the Bengals or the Chiefs with a healthy Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, if you put the Eagles defensive line against this Bengals offense without its off, they would disrupt the Bengals quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
What's their weakness? They don't have a weakness. They don't have a single weakness.
I guess we'll find out next 2 weeks, next 2 games.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's the thing. Like, Jalen Hurts is clearly not 100%. So that's the best part of making this proclamation is if they lose.
So if they lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and Mahomes is limping through that game, what's your justification then?
That wouldn't be good for me. I just think they're so good. They're overwhelmingly
good,
and they don't have a single weakness. Patrick Mahomes high ankle sprain. Aaron Rodgers, a trade for Aaron Rodgers is a very realistic scenario, according to Adam Schefter. Dave wants him to be the Giants quarterback next year.
I thought about that. Yeah, could be a possible solution to their problems. Think about the teams in the league that are a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender. I think you can make the case for both New York teams, but certainly more the Jets and the Giants. But the Giants, they improve their defense a little bit more, and then they replace Daniel Jones with Aaron Rodgers, and that offensive line's moving in the right direction. I'd still like them to get another receiver to go along with Rodgers, but they could be pretty good. I think they'd be one of the best teams in the NFC.
I would think the Raiders, if they can't get Brady.
Are they a quarterback away from being a Super Bowl contender? Like, I feel like the Giants are closer than the Raiders are based on everyone else on the team.
I would think a team that just made it to the divisional round of the playoffs is closer. So, yes. But I think that any team viewing themselves as a trade partner for the Packers is going to view themselves as they're getting a two-time MVP in the last 3 years, and they're going to consider themselves Super Bowl contenders.
And they'd have a great offense if they had Aaron Rodgers. Obviously their defense is a problem. But,
they would definitely have a great offense if they had Aaron Rodgers before this year.
Yeah, he might be. We don't know.
I think most people, understandably so, would have said that Brady's last couple of years in New England, he looked like he was done.
Right.
And then got rejuvenated and won the Super Bowl and looked like an MVP. So he goes to a different place. You never know how that looks for him. But It's not a bad option if you can acquire Aaron Rodgers without giving up Russell Wilson type compensation and make yourself in a good spot while not mortgaging your future.
Speaking of Brady, all signs point to him leaving Tampa Bay. Ian Rappaport saying he's not expected to re-sign. Julian Edelman said it as well, that kind of hinted that he doesn't expect Brady back there. So if you were an NFL team and you could sign one guy for 1 year, would you sign Rodgers or Brady?
I would sign Rodgers.
I would sign Rodgers too.
The answer is Rodgers, but that's not your question is not what the situation is. You've got to trade draft picks to get Rodgers. You can sign Brady and just give money. So
right, if Rodgers was
attractive.
If Rodgers was cut, and you're looking at both those guys, then it's easy.
Then it's Rodgers, yeah.
Yeah.
But in the current situation, I think Brady's the top priority.
What do you guys think the compensation is going to be for Rodgers?
It's definitely a first-round pick. The Packers aren't letting him go for less than that. You know, so it's a first and whatever else comes on top of it. Now, is it a Russell Wilson deal? Then you're stupid to try and make that trade for a guy that's, you know, near the end of his career, and who knows what the long-term future holds for him, unless you're having a conversation with him and it's, yes, I'm in for five more years. You know, then you got to pay up. Because it's not just trading for him. You got to give him a new deal too.
Well, I was thinking about that with the guy who's leaving the Raiders. What's the compensation for Derek Carr?
To pay Derek Carr?
No, you've got to give up the draft pick
trade
to get
for Derek Carr in the next couple weeks.
Well, otherwise he's getting cut, right?
Yeah, he's going to get cut. Right, yeah, you have a chance.
I assume someone would trade for him, but maybe not.
It certainly wouldn't be a first-round pick. Might not even be a day two pick.
Well, I think
because he could just as easily get cut.
When the Raiders want to just take anything for him at this point, so they don't have to pay him.
I think he has a no trade clause too.
Yeah, he does.
So they can't just take anything from anybody. It has to be his. But yeah, they want to get rid of him, it seems like.
All right, a couple more notes here. Dallas reportedly could use the franchise tag.
How would you feel about Derek Carr with the Giants, Adam?
I thought,
You'd like it. You'd like it.
I think I'd rather just roll the dice with Jones.
I'd much
rather have Daniel Jones and Derek Carr.
I think that's a Ron Rivera type of thing, or a Carolina, one of those two
or
teams.
Or a Colts.
My brother, the two Jets fans I know seem pretty convinced that Derek Carr is going to the Jets. So you heard it here first.
New Orleans. He's got his former coaches there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. All right, the according to Ian Rapoport, the Cowboys could franchise tag Tony Pollard. He's out 3 months with a broken leg. Saquon Barkley does not want to be franchise tagged. He and Daniel Jones are both free agents.
Does that mean he wants out?
No, Barkley does not want out. He wants to stay. He made that clear, but he does not want to be franchise tagged. But he said nobody wants to be franchise tagged. So, you know, he's like, nobody would want that. But he was pretty realistic.
I would guess 90% of the league would be pretty happy if they got a franchise tag.
Mm-hmm. I guess, right, yeah. Nobody in Barkley's situation would want. That's like $10 million for 1 year for a running back.
Yeah, who wants that money?
Yeah. Tweet of the day from Steve Haddock. I thought this was really interesting. He is going total rebuild in his 12-team Dynasty Superflex half PPR tight end premium league. He's going rebuild. He traded Jamar Chase, Jalen Hurts, Ramondre Stevenson, and Mark Andrews for 5 first-round picks in 2023, including 1 and 2, 101 and 102. So he traded Chase, Hurts, Stevenson, and Andrews for 5 first-round picks, including the top two. What do you think about that in a Superflex Dynasty League?
I hate it.
You hate it?
I do.
Why?
What if he only had, like, 3 first-round picks and he kept Jamar Chase?
I still hate it. I mean, you're giving away top 2 overall player in Jamar Chase.
That's fair. Yes.
You're giving away, I mean, I don't know where you have him ranked, Heath, but I assume Jalen Hurts is a top 5 quarterback.
I'm just doing tiers today, and he is the other only guy in tier 1 with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
And Jamie, this is super flex. So between him and Chase, those are two top 5 players, probably.
Right. That's
two
insane.
Of the top 5 picks in your draft.
And then it's tight end premium, right?
Yup.
And Mark Andrews has still got another 3-4 years of pretty excellent production, I would assume, unless it's a total rebuild in Baltimore. But you got to still like that. So that's 3 of the 5 players. That, plus Ramondre Stevenson, if he's the guy in New England, that's 2 to 3 years of maybe top 10 production. So you got to get back 5 home run superstar picks to replace the 4 potential home run superstar picks you're giving up, players you're giving up. I hate it.
And you don't. That's the thing. When you do a rebuild, you don't have to tear the whole thing down. Even if it's going to take you 2 to 3 years to be good again, you would still want to have Jamar Chase on your team then. Like, just keep Jamar Chase. Put him on the bench if you want to lose.
Right.
But keep Jamar Chase. And
I would just think if you're giving away young star players like that, you don't just want to get back 2023 picks. Like, you better get back 2 years worth of draft pick haul that you're setting yourself up for. Okay, by 3 years, I'm the best team in the league. You might have had the best team in the league right now with just those 4 guys alone.
All right. Yeah, I thought it was a funny trade and good reaction. Good stuff. We'll take a break. One question for each eliminated team. Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley next year? Who we drafting first? We'll tell you when we come back on Fantasy Football Today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
The Jaguars, the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Bills have been eliminated. So we'll give you a question for each of those four teams. Let's start with the Jaguars. I teased it going into break. Dave, you can start. Christian Kirk or Calvin Ridley? Next season, Kirk will be 26 and Ridley 28.
Assuming that Ridley is the same guy as when we last saw him, I would take him over Christian.
That's part of the.
So when do I have to decide this by? Right now?
When you're drafting?
Right, for argument's sake, right now. I mean, yes, if you want to see, obviously we can see what happens, but okay, that's why it's a tough question.
Ridley's best year in 2020, he was averaging close to 20 PPR points per game. Year after that, he was right around 14 PPR points per game. That's where Kirk was this year. That was a career high for Kirk. I think they're both, they're going to be 1 and 2 in targets in Jacksonville. I will still take Ridley. I think he's the better receiver.
Okay, Ridley, anybody voting for Christian Kirk here?
I'll take Kirk right now with the understanding that I don't know what Calvin Ridley is going to look like. So come training camp, that might change, but right now I'll take Christian Kirk.
Remember, Ridley's not coming back from like a crazy injury or anything like that.
He's also not coming back from playing for a year and a half.
Deshaun Watson had no injury.
No, and he was with his team for a year for whatever that was worth, working on the practice squad. Yeah, but I think Ridley will be probably. I don't think Ridley's going to come back and he's going to have a beer belly and forgot how to run routes or anything like that.
No,
I think
but he might have a hamstring injury and then another. I mean, I would probably, like, if I was betting on it, I'd definitely bet Kirk right now today. If they're both being drafted in the same place, I'll probably take Ridley because I think he has more upside.
Maybe consider Michael Thomas. That's what I always figured people would do because Thomas missed about a year and a half due to injury.
Right. But he had injuries.
Yeah. And he was, he was okay.
Ridley just had parlays.
Let's see. What did he have? He had 171 yards, only 57 yards per game, but he caught 3 touchdowns, 22 targets in the first 3 games of the season. It was surprisingly good. In fact, he's like a top 10 quarterback, wide receiver per game this past year, Michael Thomas. Christian Kirk, in case you're curious, finished as the number 11 wide receiver in fantasy for the season. Per game, he was 19th in non-PPR, 20th in full PPR, and he was very matchup dependent. Almost all of his good games came against easy competition, and almost all of his bad games came against tough competition.
I also think there's a chance that Doug Peterson, as good and creative as he is as a play caller with this many weapons, could turn this into a Kansas City situation where there's not going to be a number one who's the number one this week and the number one next week and the number one next week. It could be a frustrating situation with all those guys.
Kind of was like that this year.
Yeah, we saw that during Lawrence's hot stretch. It was Ingram for a couple weeks. It was Kirk for a couple weeks. It was Zay Jones for a couple weeks. I think a lot of it will depend on if Ingram comes back too, because if you're taking that away, and then what's the replacement option? Do they bring in another tight end of his caliber or better, or is a young tight end that they're going to build around? I would be very surprised at this point, just from talking to people who know that team, that they're going to let Ingram leave. Sounds like he's a candidate for the franchise tag as well. So we'll see what happens there. But, if all those guys are there, then like Heath said, it could be just great for the quarterback, but nobody that is a slam dunk week in, week out starter, unless somebody stands out early enough.
All right, Christian Kirk, by the way, 28 targets, 14 in each game in the 2 postseason games. That's a lot of targets. All right, let's get to our next one.
It almost feels like it could be a Tampa Bay situation where Kirk is more like Godwin. Just be a lot of catches.
And Ridley, yeah.
And Ridley's more like Evans. Well, he'll be the big play guy.
Yeah, and let me just say for Christian Kirk, his last 2 years have been his best. He is meant for the slot. His last 2 years, he's been in the slot a lot. The first 3 years of his career, not enough. He's playing behind Larry Fitzgerald. And I want to thank Jacob Gibbs for pointing that out in the preseason. He was very high on Christian Kirk because he thought the slot numbers, you know, would translate, that they'd use him that way in Jacksonville, and he was right. Second question is for the Giants. What is Daniel Jones's upside? And as I mentioned earlier, he finished as, on a per-game basis, number 8 in 4-point-per-passing touchdown leagues, but number 14 in 6-point-per-passing touchdown leagues. And when you want upside, you need big weeks. He had very few of them. Points per game, he was just about even with Trevor Lawrence and Jared Goff. Lawrence and Goff both had 6 games during the regular season with more than 23 fantasy points. Daniel Jones had 3. So he almost never had a big game. So what is Daniel Jones's upside? That's the question. Heath, first word.
If the roster remains as it is, then I think it's pretty close to what you saw this year. I think this year is pretty close to a best case scenario for the Giants based on their roster. If they go out and go get him an A.J. Brown, a Stephon Diggs, a something like that as a number one wide receiver, then I think his upside is in 4-point per passing touchdown leagues, top 6, and in 6-point, probably top 10.
Jamie.
Yeah, I mean, I said it last week. You know, he's one of 9 quarterbacks in NFL history with 3,000 passing yards and 700 rushing yards. You know, we crave those things, you know, guys that are going to run the ball like this. And so I agree with Heath. I think, you know, this is a and he did this, you know, again, to whatever extent he did this with Isaiah Hodgins and Richie James and Darius Slayton. Now, 2 of those guys are free agents. So, you know, you'll see what happens there in terms of Slayton and James with what they decide to do. But Wandale Robinson at some point will be back. You know, hopefully what we saw from him and some flashes can add to that. But yeah, they need to, you know, invest in their receiving core. You mentioned this, Adam, that the offensive line is certainly trending. Or Dave, one of you guys, the offensive line, how it's trending in the right direction, and hopefully will continue to get better, you know, in drafting Thomas and Neal in the last couple of seasons. So, you know, he's got clearly a great play caller behind him and supporting him. Sounds like they may lose, you know, one of their assistants if Kafka leaves. But I think Brian Daboll deserves a big part of that, you know, what he was able to, you know, do with Daniel Jones. You always got to be a little bit leery about guys when they're in free agency years. You know, is this peak Daniel Jones, or is this, you know, kind of where he's trending? But, you know, to Heath's point, I think I've been talking about off the air, you know, where he's been in his career versus one season. He clearly finally had a play caller that is going to bring out the best in him. And so I think you got to just give it a little bit of an edge to the small sample size there. But yeah, I think this offseason is going to be very telling. First, does he stay? Second, what do they do to support him? Is there a premier running back there too? Because, you know, that might put a little bit more on his plate if they don't have a guy of Barkley's, you know, caliber and upside. So I think he's very much, as I said before, you know, if you tell me right now, Tua's uncertainty, even with his great receiving core versus Daniel Jones right now, I would give a slight lean to Daniel Jones because of his rushing upside.
Over Tua, wow.
Well, the fantasy production. Yes, I think there's a lot to like about a guy that's going to run to his level.
Yeah. Okay, Dave, you want to get in there? What's Daniel Jones's upside?
Just, I agree with both guys. I think if they give him another talent to work with, and if Wandale Robinson steps up and manages to stay healthy, he's a good yards after catch slot receiver type. So they need somebody that can improve these numbers. He was 25th in yards per attempt. This is this year with Brian Daboll. Tied for 21st in passing touchdowns with Marcus Mariota. That number needs to go up. His ADOT was 6.4 yards. His deep pass rate was 5.9%. Both of those tied for 32nd among qualifying quarterbacks. I think if he has to do it alone, this year showed what he's capable of doing. And he was like right around QB12. If he gets help, then yes, he can be better than that. He can be just inside the top 10. And certainly be worth taking before he'd be worth taking with more than one of your last 3 picks on draft day.
I mean, really, the only thing that changed that much in terms of the passing this year was the fact that he stopped turning the ball over.
Yep.
The key to him being good this year was they let him run. He ran for as many yards this year as he had the last 2 combined almost. But he wasn't, it's not like he made a big leap as a passer or was good as a passer.
I think also, you know, just to tie in Trevor Lawrence too. You know, and this is something you talk a lot about, Adam, is rookie receivers, how the year goes on and they get better. These guys both had new play callers this year. And you saw, you know, some struggles early on, you know, mostly for Lawrence. But as he picked up the system and got more comfortable in the system, as Daniel Jones got more comfortable in the system, and you started to say, okay, these are my guys around me, you know, in Jones's case, because of some of the injuries, Sterling Shepard going down and, you know, Wandale Robinson going down, the trading of Tony, you know, he looked the part. you know, and so forget about what how the game ended against the greatest team ever, according to you.
Yeah, one of them.
He looked the part. And so, you know, that's the thing you got to buy into. Yes, some of the matchups were
looked apart against the Vikings. That's the concern I have, Jamie, that it was the Vikings twice and the Colts.
Yeah, no, I get that. I certainly get that. But it's not like, you know, he had a good game against Philadelphia. The first time they met, he left the game. Tyrod Taylor ran for 40 yards, you know, but he had 169 yards and two total touchdowns in that game. You know,
he had a good fantasy game. That was
a good fantasy game. Yeah,
he didn't have a good game.
I'm talking about fantasy value.
But right, right.
You know, but you know, you give him year two in the system, better weapons around him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the chance. He's not going to be a superstar. I don't think that's, you know, his range of outcomes, but he's got a chance to be in that where Matt Ryan has been, where Matthew Stafford has been, you know, guys that are, you know, Derek Carr has been, you know, whatever slot you want to put him in, a guy that's going to be knocking on the door if things go really, really well for him, but never going to break through. I don't think he's ever going to be like that. And that's probably, you know, I'm probably going to disservice to guys like Ryan and Stafford, but you know what I mean? You know, not going to be
Cousins.
The best of the best
Cousins.
In the league. Cousins. Yeah,
that's
great example.
Reliable fantasy starter.
I'm just talking a reliable quarterback, you know, a chance to put up good fantasy numbers.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to do it a different way, but he's got a chance, I think, to be good for the Giants, really good for fantasy at times. And, you know, again, right supporting cast could help you win a fantasy league.
He's got to follow the blueprint that Jalen Hurts has. Okay, because this was Hurts' second year with Sirianni. He got a big boost during the offseason with A.J. Brown. And then he went out and he was a monster for fantasy. Yeah. It's exactly what Daniel Jones needs for his second year with Dable.
Okay, let's move on.
But he's not gonna be Jalen Hurts, though.
No, that's not what we meant.
I don't think he'll be as good as Jalen Hurts. It's just the type of offseason he needs.
Yeah, the problem is, look at the free agent wide receiver class is horrible. So it's going to have to be a trade or
someone gets cut or they
draft
Tyreek
someone.
Tyreek wasn't a free agent. Devontae Adams wasn't a free agent.
Just saying, it's going to have to be a trade. That's what
AJ Brown, too.
So they'll have to do that. But
it's Diggs after his blow up on the sideline.
I mean, they're not going to be able to go out and get Kenny Galladay again, okay?
The thing that you got to do is you got to do exactly what all those other teams did is look at the guys that are going into the final year of their rookie deals and who's in a bad spot. Like if I'm the Giants, I might call the Colts, say, is Michael Pittman available? You know, those type of guys, you know?
Yeah. I mean, okay. Let's go to our next question. I think actually Schaefer, we have a Paramount Plus. Let's see what's coming up on Paramount Plus.
New Sunday.
My son works across town at Three Rock.
Wait, isn't that a prison firefighting camp?
Yeah, he's an inmate.
Cal Fire's coming to you.
You run into fires like a superhero.
I didn't think that I was worthy of wearing a Cal Fire uniform.
If you let me save your life, you'd be saving mine.
Fire Country. Special episode Sunday after the AFC Championship game on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Dave, you get the first word on our next question here. Cowboys have been eliminated. How do you feel about Dak Prescott?
I think he's still a top 12 fantasy quarterback and one of the guys that you'll settle for on draft day. Curious to see what their offseason moves are. I don't think that they should stay status quo. At running back, at wide receiver, tight end, Schultz was playing on the franchise tag this year. Do they tag him again or do they give one of their younger tight ends a chance to replace him? Dak, it's almost the same story with Dak. He'll run a little bit. He's good enough as a passer. He'll have some huge games. We saw that 2 games ago. And he'll have some duds. We saw that on Sunday. That's the type of quarterback that you should aim for when you end up whiffing on the top at least 8 quarterbacks on draft day. He'll go in that same range as maybe Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones and Tua and those guys back half of the draft.
How do you feel about Jamie? Because Jamie's leaving.
Gotta go. Jamie's bye. Awesome.
Bye, Jamie.
Jamie had to run. Heath?
That description, I don't think was completely unfair. I don't see any reason, though, that I would draft Trevor Lawrence over Dak this year.
Oh, I would.
I know you would.
You're ready to go. I would, too, but I think they'd be closer for me than they would be for you, Adam.
I think Dak would be something like 10, and Lawrence would be 6.
Six?
Yeah, I had him ahead of Fields.
Yikes.
Well, we talked about this last week.
We did. And you have the right to that opinion. I'd still take Fields.
I went Herbert 5, Lawrence 6, Fields 7. I look, the Fields is, or sorry.
So Lamar's behind them as well?
Yes. Lawrence is an ascending player and a potential superstar.
He was ascending, and then he...
I agree with what Jay... I mean, I view him the same way Jamie does. I mean, I just think incredible talent, getting better, and this is when guys break out, you know? So Dak, I like, just has to throw more. Pass attempts were down this year. Safe kind of guy. Not a huge rusher, but enough. I don't know. I can't see him repeating that season where he was the number two quarterback. He was number four per game. So I don't see as much upside with him, but safe, but nice player. Nice player. Happy to have him. What about you, Heath?
I think he's a mid-range QB1. Somewhere in that 7 to 10 range.
Yep. Wait a second. Look at this comment. Forgot about that. How different is Trevor Lawrence's game if Christian Kirk catches that beautiful deep ball? It was a brilliant throw. Come on, Heath.
Yeah, we should go back and add all the dropped fantasy points that every quarterback had this year, and then we could get their true production.
Too hard on him.
Where do you have him ranked, Heath? Where do you have Dak ranked?
Maybe 10.
That's where I have him.
8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. Right in the same range as Lawrence.
Yep. I've got Lawrence 8. Deshaun Watson 9, Dak 10.
Lawrence Watson.
But I've kind of always been the Dak guy, I think. So yeah. I'll stick with him. And I expect that he's going to have a better number two wide receiver going into next year than T.Y. Hilton.
Or Michael Gallup or Noah Brown.
This was the first, forget about receiver. I mean, Schultz was his number two receiver.
Right.
You know, forget about wide receiver. This was the first time in 4 years the Cowboys didn't have three receivers with 800 or more yards. They only had one. Dalton Schultz was the number two receiver on the team. He didn't even have 600 yards.
Well, that's because their pass attempts cratered this year.
Yeah. I had Dak 12th, by the way, in my rankings from 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago. Heath, you have him 10th. Jamie 11th. Dave 10th. Chris 9th. Who do I have ahead of him? I put Tua ahead of him and Kyler. I'll stand by that.
I definitely don't think I'll have Kyler ahead of him. I'm not sure Kyler is better than him when they're both 100%, and I don't know that we'll see Kyler the first month of the season.
Yeah, I don't think I knew at that point that Kyler wouldn't be ready for week 1. So I don't think anyway. Let's go with that. Next question. It's for Buffalo. More excited about James Cook or Gabe Davis in 2023?
It's going to be greatly dependent on what the Bills do at those two positions. But if there's no Devin Singletary, and like, I just don't think that's a question we can really answer. But I do think, like, hearing you guys talk about Gabe Davis earlier, I'm probably going to turn into the Gabe Davis guy this year.
Not me.
What?
Didn't I already turn into the Gabe Davis guy?
Well, yours was a little, like, nobody's going to buy that.
I do.
And buts, yes. Like, just the clean look at Gabe Davis before Josh Allen got hurt, he was better.
How about Cook going ahead of Davis in both of our early drafts so far this January?
That's interesting.
In our half PPR, Cook went in round 6, so we're drafting him as one of those breakout type of running backs. Gabe Davis went in round 7. In the full PPR version, Gabe went in round 8 and James Cook went in round 7. So a round ahead.
Question.
Cook over Gabe.
Question.
So far.
Even if they don't bring back Devin Singletary, are the Bills going to actually allow a running back to be good for fantasy?
Right. So like that's almost the first question is how are they going to react to the end of this season? Do you really think that if they were able to run the ball better against Cincinnati, they would have won that game?
No, they weren't going to win that game.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. So they may continue to view the running back as more of like a complementary piece to their overall offense. So it almost doesn't matter who their running back is. The fact that there's going to be multiple guys in that role just makes it even worse. So taking James Cook a round ahead of Gabe Davis might not make sense, especially when we're talking about round 6, when we know that James Cook might not ever be, you know, 225 touches, 8 total touchdowns. He's fun to watch. You know, he's an exciting player, but the offense just does not seem to want to give a lot of work to one running back, certainly over the balance of 4 months of the regular season.
James Cook advanced metrics. Out of 52 running backs with 80 or more carries, he was 17th in rush EPA. Remember, 52 running backs here. 17th in rush EPA. Cook was 15th in success rate. He was second in yards per carry, first in yards before contact per run, 23rd in yards after contact per run, 17th in percentage of carries for 5 or more yards, 3rd best in percentage of carries for 12 or more yards, and 18th in avoid rate. And to compare him to Devin Singletary, who's a good running back, I mean, he's a very underrated player, he's been, had a nice career. James Cook was better in every single one of those metrics except for one, success rate. I don't even know how that's calculated.
We kind of do. It's complicated.
Okay, I knew that. But anyway, you know, he, behind the same offensive line, same situation as a good running back, Devin Singletary, he was better in almost every single measure. Didn't catch a ton of passes, but was brought in to do that. We know he can do that. He's an exciting player. I think people will be excited about him. Yep. Can the Bills give you a sustained must-start running back? I don't know. But yeah, a good, really good rookie season for James Cook. I don't know if there's anything else to say, guys. Probably not.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about it later this week.
I'm sure we will.
Whatever there is to say.
We're going to do our top six wide receivers, which might be consensus, actually. Should we go a little deeper? Maybe the next six wide receivers? Top six wide receivers, and then top six tight ends, and some DFS advice. How'd you do in DFS, Dave?
Usual.
Yeah.
Won some, lost some. My playoff challenge team is busted. I went all in on the Bills. And so now I got to replace those guys. I got no chance of winning.
I should have called out Jamie while he was here. Because what was his Super Bowl pick? Wasn't it Bills-Eagles or Bills-Niners?
Mine was Bills-Eagles. I don't remember what his was.
I think his was... No, his was cheap. Whatever. It wasn't Bengals. I went with Bengals-Niners. All Bengals and all Niners in my playoff challenge. It wasn't my Super Bowl pick, but all Bengals, all Niners in my playoff challenge lineup. And so did Jamie. And he's got more points than me, so his Bengals and Niners are a little bit better than mine so far. And I'm a little upset about that, so... I should have, because I think it's not true to what he predicted. So that's my beef with Jamie.
It's okay. That was his hedge.
Is this, Schaefer, is this real? Is this what you sent me?
It's just a report right now, but
what
New
is
York,
it?
The New York Post is reporting that Jeff Bezos is going to sell the Washington Post to buy the Washington Commanders. That's interesting.
I'm surprised those two are of comparable value.
Which one would you think would be worth more?
I think the Commanders.
I would think the Commanders is worth more than the Post. Although I don't know all the other like parts of the Washington Post are included. Like it's a media group, right? It's not just the newspaper and their digital site. There's got to be more to the
Post. Okay, he bought the Washington Post 10 years ago. For $250 million. So it's definitely not worth what the Commanders are going to fetch.
That doesn't increase in value the way that sports teams do?
That's a pretty big leap from 2013 to get into like the $5
billion
range.
They've got a lot of subscribers. They do a good job.
All right. That's it for today's show. See ya.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.